Hello, and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. That was great, considering the fact that Bree and I are back to social distancing.
Yeah, so last time you saw us, if you follow us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod.
Yes, pod.
We were together watching the season premiere of Grey's Anatomy, season 17, question mark?
Yeah, right? It's not 16. Yeah, 17.
And we had talked about how we were a pod, and we have been a pod for quite some time. And recently, Big Gretch decided, y'all need to calm down. And so, as Abby just said before we started recording, it was the season premiere of Grey's Anatomy, but it was the season finale of us hanging out. So,
yep. In person. The summer is over, and even my like two friends that I see is too many. I will just want to say before we get into like who we are and what is that, Bree was like, we should probably like not do this together tonight. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And I meant this, Bree, when I said, but you better not hang out with other people behind my back. Cause I would be so sad if like, oh, Abby, we can't do in person anymore. And then I see you with people like tomorrow. I'm going to tell Gretchen Whitmer if you do that.
I mean, first of all, I think I'd be pretty smart about that and not show anyone that that's what I was doing. I'm really hoping that this winter involves a lot of bonfires and like snow pants and shit with like hot toddies outside, social distance.
That sounds wonderful. I love, like, I started wearing snow pants when we got McCoy, when I take him on walks in the winter, and I realized snow's really not that bad if you're dressed properly.
Yeah, if you're dressed appropriately. So, like, even just, like, an hour hang, like, you know, to just get some, like, time with people so our brains don't explode, like, we could be social distance outside with, like, a bonfire. I think it would be a good idea.
I would love that. It would even be fun to make it like a, maybe not a weekly, but or like a bi-weekly event where like we rotate backyards.
I'm
down for that. We took down our furniture, but we're not taking down our lights. We're going to keep them up winter. So, yeah. Anyways, if this is your first time listening, now you know my winter plans. But we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast, deep diving all episodes of Grey's. We finished back in September, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
We finished season 10 of Grey's and ended with a big farewell to Christina. We took the month of October off, and now we are returning from now until the new year, giving you reaction episodes of the new season that just premiered. So these will be a little bit different than our normal episodes. Rather than fully breaking down every single thing that happens, we're going to make these more about our opinions and our thoughts and just how we reacted to it. Just to give a little change up of things and, like, we're going to want to deep dive these episodes in like 3 years, not now.
Right. And have some time to reflect. And I feel like, you know, we have a lot of opinions on things and can really deep dive the other seasons because we've rewatched them so many times. So these episodes are just kind of our initial breeze through thoughts. Like, and it's kind of fun that we'll be able to maybe predict what might happen because we don't know.
Yeah.
So
I forgot what this feeling's like. Also, it's really crazy that we ended season 10 with Christina, like her final episode, and we were getting really sad that like, oh, now we have to watch the show like without her and without, you know, all these characters. And then we got fucking Derek Shepherd back in this premiere.
Yeah, which is like so wild. Oh, by the way, this is a spoiler alert podcast.
Spoiler alert.
I think you should know that by now, especially since this is probably titled like reaction to season 17, episode 1. But yeah, we talk about all things Grey's Anatomy on this podcast from start to finish. So if you are behind, probably turn off the podcast and go to like episode 1. No, go to season 3 of our podcast and start listening from there.
Or at least watch season 17, episode 1.
Yeah.
Okay, so first to Bree and I, like we said, we were together And we had Station 19 on. However, we were drinking red wine and not really paying attention. Like, no. It was on. And I really feel like I paid the most attention to the scene when they were driving by and everyone was applauding for them. And it was slow-mo. And we were like, this is so cheesy.
Yeah. And like, I don't mean that in the way that like, I know that that like you were like, this actually like happened in areas. And like, I absolutely appreciate our healthcare workers and our firefighters and our paramedics. And, you know, all of these people are United States Postal Service workers, like all, I appreciate all of them, but the way that it was presented in Station 19 with like the music and like, I think it was the slow-mo and like the finger guns and stuff of like, yeah, you out there with that sign was a little too much for me.
Yeah, it was a lot. So we're not going to talk anything about Station 19 because I truly don't know what was happening when I watched it. There was a lot of crying and I just skipped past. But what made me laugh is instantly when the Grey's episode started and it showed all of the firefighters cheering for the doctors to go in. And like there was that sweet, beautiful scene. I wish I could remember what Bailey said to Ben. They were like talking. And it was something like, I'm doing a good job. Like, I'm doing the best I can. It was like some sort of mantra, but I was like, this isn't cheesy at all. This is beautiful. Like, I literally think it has to do with the characters that I'm familiar with as well.
I think so too. I mean, we don't really have any connection to Station 19. Anytime there's been a crossover, we haven't really watched it because we haven't watched the show. So, and I do feel like Grey's Anatomy does a good enough job that there wasn't that much of a crossover, honestly. There was a patient, but like when you're watching, similarly to when they kind of, I feel like did like the Private Practice Grey's Anatomy crossovers, like it's more focused on a certain, like the characters in that particular show. So like, you'd never, well, I feel like people wouldn't really watch Private Practice if you hadn't watched Grey's, but if, in those crossover events, if you were watching Grey's, you didn't need to watch the Private Practice episode.
Exactly. So we're just going to kind of go through some of our initial things, try to hit every character that had a big thing happen. So starting with number one, our OG, he is back, Richard Weber. The cobalt is gone. He's ready to work.
Yeah. You know what? He looks good. He shows up with a mask. Ready to work. Bailey is like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he said, the cobalt is gone. I am ready and willing to get down and dirty in here. So
I thought he was great comedic relief yet again. And I thought it was also really like sweet and meaningful when there was that moment when Bailey is like, you are who we're worried about. Like, you know, like we don't want to lose you. Like, and he said, there's that part where she says something like, you put in your time in this hospital, like you don't need to do more. Like you have done enough. And he says, oh shit, I feel like I wrote it down somewhere. He says some great quote about like how this is the one relationship of his that hasn't like failed or that hasn't let him down. And it just was really sweet. And I'm really happy to see him back. And he also had that genius moment that I loved where Bailey's obsessed with the sanitizing light that goes in the rooms and cleans rooms, which I am as well.
I love that she's like a she.
Oh yeah, it's a her for sure.
Yeah.
All day he's like kind of annoying Bailey because he didn't read all these things. And then she thinks he's like bugging him again. And he actually figured out how to hang all of the workers' PPE in the room and run the light so that they don't wash it with soap, which makes it not work as well. And I just thought that was like, he is the OG, like, you know, like he, I love that they give him moments of not just being like a doofus. Like he's also a really good doctor. So,
yeah. And I appreciate like, and we'll talk a little bit more about like the COVID storyline, like later in this episode, but that like they were addressing that, you know, doctors and nurses didn't have PPE. And so like, and he was concerned about like bleaching these things, like you said, and like comes and presents it to Bailey. And she gets really mad at him because she's like, you're not, we have these protocols and procedures and you're not reading them. And then I think he was coming to her to like suggest something else. And instead he just kind of goes behind her back and does it for her. Yep. And yeah. And that's like classic Richard, you know.
And he also gets a, I liked that scene with Jackson where Jackson, because he's still not talking to Catherine, and he has that conversation with Jackson and I think Richard says something like, I always wanted a son or something. He's like, yeah, well, you got one. Because Jackson is telling him, like, give my mom a chance. She loves really hard. And like, she can be a pain in the ass, but she loves you.
Yeah. So kind of like transitioning into that, like, Catherine ends up paging Richard into like the conference room with Tom Karasik, which Tom Karasik this whole time is like,
he's having a rough time.
He's not doing well. Yeah. I mean, he's irritated. I think we can assume that Teddy and him did not work out. And I guess
he has a Footloose moment when he meant to order all the PPE and he ordered all the booties.
All the booties.
And then he just went at it with a baseball bat or with a golf club, which was very Footloose. He also kind of does look like Kevin Bacon. And also I did think the golf club was kind of funny. Like when he was like, to keep you 6 feet away from me, whatever. But he definitely is having a rough time.
Yeah. He's not doing well. And so Catherine ends up like firing Tom and he's like, I'm going to leave. And then she kind of calls him out about his like sexual escapades and is like, are you really going to find a job? So he stays on. So she fires Tom and like appoints Richard as what I like to call the chief of chiefs.
Yes, the chief of chiefs.
So Richard is once again our chief. Like, I mean, he has come full circle after 17 seasons. He is finally chief again. And
wait, he's not chief though.
No, he's not. But I like to call him the chief of chiefs.
Oh, okay. Okay. What is the position called? Oh no, it is the chief of chiefs. But who's the actual chief right now? Is it Owen?
No, it's Bailey.
Oh, Bailey. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's okay. So Richard ends up asking or saying that he needs to get COVID tested. And Catherine is like super concerned and is like, are you not feeling well? And he's like, no, I want to make sure we have like nothing in our way to like pretty much get back together. So we know that like Richard and Catherine ended up making up and getting back together.
He says, I just want to make sure it's safe to do all the things I want to do with you.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So. Yep. So happy that they closed that up because I did not need to see another season of them being upset. It was also really interesting to see how they pieced together clearly the parts that they filmed prior to the shutdown. Mm-hmm. And then had to like kind of go back and forth. So anyways, okay. So Richard and Catherine, I also will be interested. Do you think they're going to like walk Tom out of the show? Like now that he might not be a love interest to Teddy and he's not chief of chiefs anymore.
Chief of chiefs. Well, I don't know. That's interesting because I really don't feel like he has much of a storyline anymore now. So maybe that is a way, unless they're like writing something for him. He really doesn't have much going on in the show right now. So I don't know. Right. We'll have to see.
Okay. So then we have DeLuca, Andrew DeLuca. So the parts that were filmed previously were the scenes right after he had his sort of like breakdown with, I think her name was Cindy, the patient who he believed to be sex trafficked, who actually was, and so there was like the scenes of like Bailey telling him that he was right and him meeting with that patient and like pulling himself together to go be with her because he was the only one she would talk to. I thought those were really like, it was nice that they closed that loop because they left it so like wide open. Mm. I will say the scene that like got me the most out of everything was the intervention scene. Mm-hmm. So it's with Meredith, Richard, Bailey, and his sister. What's her name?
Katarina.
No, that's Amelia's real name.
Oh.
Or is that what it is? Oh no, we're a terrible podcast. Our writers will be looking that up for us and let us know. There was a line. I thought it was important that Richard was there because he has like had to have an intervention himself. I thought it was important that Bailey was there because she brings up her medication and how she says something like Richard practically had to like force it down my throat, but now I'm like functioning and like living with this. And Meredith comes down when he like falls down to the ground or his sister, Karina. There we go. Thank you. Thank you to our writers. She says, all we're asking you to do is fight as hard for yourself as you do for everybody else. Mm. And I love that line so much because I feel like that's so relatable with other people. So many people like put others before themselves to a point where they're not even taking care of themselves anymore. And I just thought that was a really powerful line. And I screenshotted it from the Grays Instagram because I really liked it.
No, I think that's like a really great point. And especially with like helping professions, I feel like that's a huge point. Conversation in my schooling about like self-care, and we like preach it as helping professionals, and yet we're the ones who have the hardest time actually following through on self-care. And so we get burnt out. And I think, yeah, that like, that's kind of what is happening with DeLuca, is he is, you know, not taking care of himself, and just the people around him want him to care as much for himself as he does for all of his patients, because if he doesn't, he's not going to be able to do his job, which he does really well. Like clearly,
exactly.
Even though, you know, he was manic, but he was able to see that this patient was sex trafficked. I will say, right. And I understand like why they couldn't do it because of the pandemic and like the issues with filming and stuff. It did kind of suck. I thought they did a good job wrapping it up, but it did suck that we couldn't go deeper into that storyline, because I do imagine that there would have been more detail and more than just a quick little like, oh, let's just quickly tie this loose end so we can move on from it. I felt like that was a little disappointing. I don't think it was their fault at all. I would have just liked to see a little bit more of like DeLuca's response to it and stuff.
Yep. Agreed. I think too, I'm hoping they just keep bringing it up, you know, like that he shows his progress this way, but he was in the non like flashback scenes. He was back to work in dark blue scrubs. And he's the one that like walks in, which I know we'll talk about Mare in a little bit, but like when Mare like has that like sort of breakdown in the supply closet, he like just picks up the like thing and he's like very calm. And I love how she's like pissed at him because his therapist told him like, it's okay to disconnect, you know, like to give yourself a break. And so he was sleeping and he wasn't answering his phone and they were all freaking out. And I liked how she was just like, pick up your phone. Like, we care about you. Also, did anyone else think, asking to the universe, that Mare was going to start needing to breathe into a bag and then DeLuca was going to sit by her and have her breathe in the bag? Because that's what I thought was going to happen. But I actually thought it was going to be McWidow and it'd be full circle.
Yeah, I thought that when you brought that up, you're like, oh my God, she's going to breathe into a paper bag right now. I was like, wow, that would be great writing. I wonder if they couldn't really do that though, because
of the PPE. So
we'll be interesting. Ugh. I don't know, like, are Mare and DeLuca like good friends that like really care for each other? Will their like relationship, like their emotions and connection as like sexual partners, like, will that show up in this season again? Like, I think it will be interesting to see what happens between the two of them.
Yeah, because it would be sad and like a weird message to send that because of his, is he bipolar?
He's bipolar.
I think that's what they said.
Because of his like mental health diagnosis.
Want that to be the reason that they're not together. You know what I mean? Like, I think from the beginning there was already like weird emotions with them. I would like to see him fill the spot of Alex a little bit and like be her guy friend that is willing. I mean, kind of like Alex, like he was willing to drop everything for her. I'd like to see that because I don't think romantically I'm really that checked into that relationship anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I do hope that they like maintain like, and I think they already are writing that into the show, that they are very engaged and concerned with each other. So
yep, agreed.
I hope that doesn't go away.
Agreed.
Should we move on?
Okay, so then, to Teddy and Owen.
Yeah.
So this was a weird one too, because it didn't really touch on their storyline until the second hour of the premiere. Mm-hmm. Like, it literally did nothing. And just remember that like the last thing we saw was Teddy and Karasik sleeping together. Somehow she butt dialed Owen and he's in the OR and Glasses is playing it on speakerphone.
Which is mortifying. Mortifying.
So I don't know who I'm more mortified for, but I know that I don't sound that great while I'm having sex. So I also wouldn't want anyone to hear that.
No. It's not pretty. I mean, not that I've heard you have sex, but just like in general, like it's not great for,
yeah.
But I have a hard time with this storyline because on the one side, I feel like you fucking deserve it, Owen. Like you have cheated on every single mm-hmm. partner. But on the other side, like I'm an empathetic person and I believe just because you're a shit person doesn't necessarily mean that like shit should happen to you. You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know where that balance is. But like Owen knows and he tries to get Teddy to like own up to it, which I almost feel like there would have been like a space for forgiveness, like more of a space for forgiveness if Teddy would have just come clean to Owen about what she did.
I think so too.
Yeah. And like, and articulated and like remorse for it, you know, but instead, as I think often we do as human beings, it's like we do something that we're not proud of. We don't really want to own up to it. So she doesn't. Yeah, and
I also think in her brain, like it really, I think after that it settled in her mind that she wants to be with Owen and that this, that actually wasn't like important sex. You know what I mean? Like it was like in her like mind, it wasn't as like important as it maybe was to Tom. And so I think she's like, well, then if he doesn't know, I don't want to tell him because mm-hmm. like it didn't mean anything.
It and, could but ruin yeah, a good I just thing. Think,
exactly. But I feel like honesty has to overrule because that secret is going to come out. Like, at least it gives Owen the benefit of the doubt that he did tell Christina. But then again, Christina had to force him to tell her too. So I don't know what the correct answer is. But it was rough to see her lie to him and then like knowing that he knew. That was just like, oh, Teddy, come on.
Yeah. And then like, and then she's in the break room. Like, obviously, Teddy is not doing well. Like, I think it's pretty much understood that, like, I don't know if her and Owen are broken up necessarily, but they're definitely, like, not together in these episodes. Well, yeah,
he didn't even say why the wedding was canceled. Like, that alone would make me ask 8,000 questions. Like, wait, what do you mean we're not getting married today? Why? And he's just like, oh, because.
Yeah. But so Teddy is, like, really upset in the like, attendings lounge. And Joe is in there, and she's, like, pretty pissed off at her. And I think it definitely, like, we read an article. Like, I think she does bring it up, especially, like, what happened to Joe in regard, what Alex did to her, like makes her very sensitive mm-hmm. to what Teddy did to Owen. I think it's interesting that Teddy's explanation, the word I wanted to use was excuse, was that she was sabotaging a good thing. I don't think that's a good enough reason. Like while watching that, I was like, yeah, like, Teddy, I understand what you're saying, but like you hurt someone and like your own shit with like sabotaging good things is like your own shit and you need to work that out on your own. Like to me, that's not really an excuse to cheat on someone.
Right. It might have been an excuse to why like when he went there the first time, she didn't say yes to him, you know, like when he went to, was it Berlin? Where was she?
Oh, in Germany. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know, like I could use that excuse maybe as like when he asked to be back with her and she said no, like maybe that was that. But a second time, like, I don't know. That also doesn't seem to like check out for her character. Like if we look at her past, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like who else she's been with. I mean, she was with Henry, which that wasn't her fault. And then she was with the therapist who I feel like he's the one that, well, she ended things with him for Henry. Well, so I don't know.
Well, like, we just recently learned about the story about her with,
Allison.
Yeah. So we learned about Allison,
But again, like, I feel like that's not the fault of Teddy Sabat. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't seem to follow her character. And I just feel like, I guess I can believe that after all she's been through, she doesn't believe she'll ever be happy because she hasn't been. Every relationship of hers, including liking Owen in the beginning, has been nothing but heartbreak. So I guess I get that, like, she doesn't know what that feels like and doesn't trust it. But I feel like she didn't self-sabotage it. I just don't think she trusts it, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that it'll stick around. Plus, yeah. Why would you trust Owen? He's...
yeah. I don't know. It's just like, and I don't remember exactly, like, that scene went really fast, and maybe she does take ownership of it or whatever. Maybe, and it was only the first episode. So, like, maybe there's more to be grown out this. But it didn't sit right with me when I was like, self-sabotaging, okay, but it feels more like an excuse. And I don't know. And I might be being really, I love Teddy too. Like, she's like one of my favorite characters. And I'm also not defending Owen, because then Owen like talks about how
drives away.
Well, he cheated on Christina because he was mad.
Yeah. Okay. Prediction time. Do you think Teddy and Owen end up together?
I kind of hope so. Cause they,
me too.
I mean, because God damn it, it's been a really long storyline and
no more love interest for Owen.
Yeah, I feel like they'll be able to like get over it. But right now it's just complicated, I guess. I don't know. Like, Owen's very angry, as he should be. I know a lot of our listeners, me included, like, don't like Owen. But I do think he also has the right to kind of like get in his truck and drive away and be hurt by this. Like, it's a betrayal.
Yeah, for sure.
And it sucks. And like, sucks to suck, man. You know what it feels like now.
Right.
I also just hated his reasoning for cheating on Christina. Like, I get it, but like, it just shows like his character too of like, I cheated on Christina because I was mad at her. I was like, okay, man, like that doesn't make it cool. Like, that's not great.
Right, right. Yeah. It isn't great. They have so many children between all of them.
Yeah, I was also kind of confused about like, what were
there
they
was a lot
about,
of kids
like,
in this episode?
Like Amelia and like Link and Lucas. And I didn't know Amelia was still even like taking care of Lucas.
Right. And then there was a baby Bailey, who's not a baby. And there's the weird backyard, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, which never knew they had a backyard. That's a thing.
No, I'll talk about why they do that. I mean, it's COVID stuff, but it's interesting why they introduced that. But yeah, I don't know. I would like to see Teddy and Owen together. They both now have been shitty to each other in a way that seems a little unforgivable, but maybe they'll be able to look past it. And I just hope Krista Vernoff, the writer, like, I would like to see them be happy and then not have it be destroyed again.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
just,
like,
yeah, let's round
let's
it out.
Tone it
shall
down.
We?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Ooh, let's talk about a new hot and heavy relationship. Big fan of Winston. He is Maggie's current love interest. I feel like the confidence that she has when talking to him is what I wanted her to be like with Jackson.
Good point. Good point.
You know, like, she was so intimidated by Jackson at first and like felt dorky and like all these things. And like, I feel like with Winston, she feels hot. She feels confident. She feels smart, sexy. Yeah. Like, and I love that for them. And I hope he becomes a regular. Like, I think he's very charming and funny. And I loved like that they've been FaceTiming because they're both working at their respective like hospitals. And there's that great moment when right away they're FaceTiming and she's in line to like get her temperature checked. And he ends the conversation and says, love you. Mm-hmm. And she just like freezes up and Jackson overhears it and is like, oh my, are we already to that point? And she like makes some smart ass comment about Vic to him. But it turns out, which this is funny to me too, that Winston and his coworkers are saying, I love you all the time to each other to let them know that they are like cared for and like seen in this really hard time. And that it just like spilled over. Kind of a lame excuse.
Yeah.
But I think it's cute that I imagine, like, I'm just picturing that that is a really cute scenario.
Oh, yeah. And then I love that he does the little tent thing, the glamping in the backyard to, like, give her some, like, space away from things and, like, has the sisters
or whatever. It's the perfect...
set it up.
It's the perfect, like, contrast to that she hated camping with Jackson, you know, but, like, he created this in a way that is more her.
Yes. Yeah. There's, like, a bed in there and there's, like, candles and it's, like, in a backyard. So you could go inside and pee if you had to. Yeah. It's like a sexy little thing. And, like, yeah. What did you want to say about the backyard?
Oh, I think it's in the Deadline article. That's the interview between Ellen, Patrick Dempsey, and Krista Vernoff. She talks about how they had to introduce the backyard because there are only so many ways that the actors can act without masks on. And that is obviously outdoors with small groups of people. And so I believe Amelia and, like, Link are in a lot of scenes together. So they, like, are outdoors in their scenes without masks. And it's, like, kind of like the, well, we're going to talk about the beach motif, but, like, they have to get really creative in which they can film. And so they're like, we've never been in Mayor's backyard before. So we decided to, like, create it. Although it doesn't quite match up with what I thought it would be. I get, it's like a nice idea. And so they said they're going to be spending a lot of time in that backyard.
Okay. That makes sense. But yeah, it doesn't match up. And it's like, wait, what the fuck is this place that randomly,
right.
that people are coming home through the backyard too. And, like, don't remember that ever being a thing, but whatever. We got to do what
it
we got to do in COVID
too,
time.
Like, it looks a little too new age to me, like funky and new, where Mare's house is kind of, like, old, you know, like nothing is, like, modern, I would say, in her house. And so it looked a little like Palm Springs and less like an old Seattle. Like, I feel like Seattle backyards have a shit ton of flowers. They're very overgrown because the greens grow like crazy there. Like, it just looked really, like, fake. But I'm interested to see them hang out outside. It makes sense. It's summer is coming up, you know? So. Also, they named their child, what is it? Scout Derek Shepherd Lincoln.
Which is quite the name.
Yeah, I want to pull up, if you have anything to say about the two of them, I'm going to pull up the funny thing that our Facebook moderator and friend Jade said about all of the different Derek Shepherds that are in this show.
Are we talking in regards to Lincoln Amelia?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of have something to say about this, and take it or leave it. But so Amelia had the baby, Scout Derek Shepherd Lincoln, and she's clearly, it's like postpartum, and, like, there's that scene where she's in the kitchen and she, like pulls open her robe and, like, her and Link go to have sex, and I don't even know if they really do have sex, but, like. And that's great. That's totally fine. That could definitely be like how some women feel postpartum. I've never had a baby, so, like, I can't completely speak for me, or I cannot speak for me. But I do know a lot of women who've had babies, and I just feel like that's not, like, a very good representation of what it is to, like, feel after you had a baby. I don't want to generalize. Like, maybe some women do really want to have sex. Like, it frustrates me so much that, like, on these shows that are especially, like, written by women, and it's not just Grey's Anatomy. It's, like, this idea of, like, jumping right back into having sex after having a baby. And I feel like I've never seen a show where they've actually, like, talked about, like, women struggling with that, or struggling with, like, their bodies, or, like, how to have sex again, or, you know, like, it just frustrates me. And they, like, kind of brushed right over it. And, like, every character, I feel like, has done this in this show, like Meredith and Derek. Like, there's a scene where they're like, oh, we finally had sex after Bailey again. You know, it's just like, I'm like, come on, Grey's Anatomy, like, be the forefront of the conversation. And, like, let's challenge this a little bit more, because it's like, I think it's normal for women to not jump right back into having sex after having a child. That's just my opinion.
I think it's great. I agree with all of it. And I just, even the way it was kind of done in such a hokey way, where she just, like, opens her robe. Like, I'm like fairly ish can be sometimes confident, but I don't even do that now. Like I can't even relate to that as like a, like not even having a baby yet, you know, like, I don't know. Like, so I just wish that it was maybe their like sex life and relationship post baby was maybe a little more realistic to even like my pre baby sex life.
and they did it a little bit with like Amelia, like forgetting Link's birthday. Like, I don't know if that's
that
mommy brain or, you know, whatever it is, like, oh, time has gone by so fast and I haven't even realized. Right. And so I think they addressed it in that way, but I just, I don't know. I was a little disappointed, I guess. So that's all.
Great and valid. I'd love to hear our listeners' thoughts. The thing I was going to bring up about the names is that Jade, who moderates our Facebook group, said, there are three Derek Shepherds on this show. Derek Christopher Shepherd, Derek Bailey Shepherd, Scout Derek Shepherd Lincoln. And she said, why? He is not the son. And that made me laugh. And I just wanted to bring that. Also, the fact that Scout is the baby's name and his name is Atticus. And that's very To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes. Yep.
But I do like the name Scout. It is my friend's dog's name. I like it as for a human name too, as well.
When I heard that, I thought about Kristen.
I know two dogs named Scout.
Yeah.
Both are girls.
So. But Link and Amelia are happy they have a baby. That's great.
Yep. And so the next little topic is about Joe and Jackson and the sex favor. And I do want to say, I'm thankful that like they haven't just moved on from Alex being gone. Like I like that Joe is going through these different stages of like being bitchy to Teddy because it reminds her of how Alex, you know, did this to her. And like her coming up to, again, a little, I feel like Grey's though is like this sexy romantic show, but like Joe being so desperate for sex and wanting to have sex that she asked Jackson as someone she loves and trusts and like obviously is very attractive and single. Again, it's like, I don't know if I'd ever have that confidence.
Yeah, I do.
It's a me problem.
Yeah, it's a me problem. I do think like it's nice to show like Joe through the grieving process of Alex. Like you said, like it's not just like, oh, Alex isn't a part of the show anymore, so we're just going to write out any conversation about him.
Right.
Because I don't think that's really realistic. Yeah, the sex, I feel so bad for her when she starts crying. Like,
I know. I will say it makes sense that she's doing this with Jackson, though, because she wouldn't, because in my head, my first thing was like, why doesn't she like use an app, you know, like Tinder or something, but it's COVID.
Yes.
Like they don't want to be with people who are not in their, like who they don't already see. And
not
so actually
bubble.
Like, right. The more I think about that, then it is like a very funny comedic thing. I loved it. I'm curious. I don't think that they would ever work together. Like, I don't think this was setting us up for that. Do you?
I don't think so. I don't think they're right for each other, but maybe we'll see.
She made fun of his rich house and all of his rich things.
I loved it.
Remember? And like,
yeah. I was going to say, I loved the part about like the cheese. And there was a listener who
yes.
wrote something about how like all they could think about was like the episode where you ate cheese and you like disappeared in the podcast for a really long time.
Into the podcast realm. Yeah. Like, cause she says, don't you know, like no girl's going to want to have sex with you after she eats a plate of cheese and cured meats. And like, I relate to that. Like we ate charcuterie together to celebrate your birthday and I felt ill and swollen for 2 days.
Swollen, man. So swollen.
Yeah. So I ate so many olives. Just like every time I walked by it, I ate so many olives.
And also he had like Kenny G playing. Like,
oh yeah. She's used to like dirty romp around sex in a car.
Yeah. She was like, oh, like you have that kind of sex, you know, like that's not what she was looking for. Like, I don't know, making smooth, sweet love to smooth jazz, I guess. Is what.
I feel like he makes love like Richard would make love,
oh
but like
God.
Younger.
It's
they're one
smooth.
And the same, you know, just it's, smooth.
Yeah.
Smooth. They're like, yeah, like they just,
yeah,
they got
no, Jackson,
that like.
Jackson is a lover.
Old fashioned.
He's a lover.
Yeah, old fashioned lover.
Yeah. Not
a lover.
He's not a like a romp around. He's going to love on you. That's what Jackson's going to do.
He romped around with April in that bathroom, though.
That's true. That is true.
Maybe he's multifaceted.
Yeah, he could be. He could be.
I personally would like the Jackson. Like, I would like wine, maybe not the cheese, but maybe the meats, and then like a nice candlelit.
His meat?
And then at like a comfy bed. Like I think I'd prefer
just,
that.
Honestly, I feel like you'd be like, thanks for the wine and meat and fall asleep in the comfy bed.
Yeah, that's what I would do. That sounds about right.
Also, Jackson and Vic broke up. She shows up to his house naked, whatever. She doesn't want to be a stepmom. That's that.
Oh, but we see Harriet for the first time years.
Yeah. We were like, is that Harriet? My God, there she is.
She's
on
very
the show.
Cute.
She's very, very cute. Finally,
I think
saw
the
her.
Writers realized, yeah, we haven't seen her since she was a baby. So that was nice.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I jumped the Lincoln Amelia thing. My bad.
No, that's cool. So then we have Nico and Schmidt.
Yeah, which again, like, I'm frustrated. I would love to see a really, like, I want to see a really like, I don't know how to say this. Nico and Schmidt frustrate me because I think there's really great potential to show like just more about them. But I feel like we just keep getting the same repeated storyline of like Nico doesn't want to commit, but they want to have sex together. And so they like, he's a dick to Schmidt and then they end up giving blowies in the break room. I don't know.
Yep.
I guess I'm speaking also from my own life experience, and I actually don't know too much about like many different gay relationships. And I think that's why I feel like I just want to see more of them. I feel like their storyline is always like at the tail end and it's like 4 minutes, if that. I think I would just like to spend more time on them to get more character development of Nico because I don't understand who he is. You know?
I totally agree with you, Abby. Like, I feel like Grey's Anatomy did this thing. Like, I mean, we had like storylines about like gay women, but not like gay men. And I feel like mm-hmm. this is the first time that like Grey's Anatomy has had like a relationship with gay men. Maybe not like main characters, I feel like, or even like kind of side characters. Right. There might be like patients or something. And yeah, I agree that they just like, I don't feel like they're really developing the characters. And that is disappointing. Because we want it. We want more. We want to see more of that. And it does always feel like this weird, like, not weird, but like end side storyline of an episode that like, oh, this is kind of going on here. And we're like, wait, what's happening with them? Yeah. And we want more.
Yeah. And I really like Schmidt and I liked his like vulnerability with like having to tell all these patients' families that their loved ones have died and like how hard that was. And I just want to see more of them, I guess, in like together as a storyline. And Nico always just comes in last minute and like doesn't have much more of a role. So
yeah.
Anyways,
if I'm gonna be honest, I feel like Schmidt deserves, from what I've seen of Nico, I feel like Schmidt deserves someone better than Nico. And maybe he will, maybe that will happen. I don't know. Or maybe Nico's like character will grow and expand and he'll be better.
Maybe he's the Alex Karev of the new, like, you know, kind of like a dick and just like,
yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. We'll see. Cause I feel like we hated Evil Spawn in the beginning.
Yeah.
Also.
And then we were so sad to see him go.
Okay. Let's just jump to the COVID thing. And then we'll end with the like big, big moment.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead first.
Oh, I was just going to say, so if any of you like watched our initial responses or our initial
response. Instagram Live.
Yeah, on Instagram Live, like we were a little pissed, like kind of like, ugh, COVID. And like, that was not to be disrespectful to anyone who works in healthcare. Like I was just talking to Abby about this before we recorded the episode. And I also work in healthcare. I don't work in hospitals and I don't work like directly with COVID. So I'm not trying to like compare by any means. I can appreciate, I think it goes both ways. Like we've had a couple people comment and be like, hey, I work in healthcare. And I was really it was really important to see this storyline and I appreciated it. And I think they did a good job. And then there were other people who were like, hey, I work in healthcare. It's my job. I didn't want to see it. Like I'm like drained from it. So I think it goes both ways. Hopefully no one was offended by what we said. I think we're all collectively as a world like drained when it comes to COVID.
Fatigued.
Yeah, fatigued, definitely. But we obviously realize that this is still a super important, serious issue that we need to navigate. And with that being said, I think Grey's Anatomy did a really good job telling that story because they didn't really, I guess they could have not, but they, I kind of feel like they didn't have an option. And reading the article with Krista Vernoff and Patrick Dempsey and Ellen Pompeo and them talking about that they brought like doctors and nurses in, like into the writing room and like listened to them talk about it and incorporated that in the episode makes me really respect Grey's Anatomy instead of them just being like, oh, we're just going to write what we want. They like, they took people who were actually living it day in and day out and tried to show representation in the episode.
Yeah. I thought it was really well done. And I also think too, I loved like Mare being the focal point of like the exhausted doctor, mm-hmm. you know, cause I feel like, I mean, we saw it with Bailey, we saw it with, Schmidt. I mean, we saw it with a lot of them, but especially Meredith, like how many, you know, codes they have and like how many people she's had to like be with because their loved ones can't be with them. And I think it was really important. And I think it's going to be interesting how they keep going with this because they started or this, you know, it says it's April when these episodes are airing. So I'm interested to see how it progresses, seeing as though it is currently almost end of November and we're in no better of a place.
Oh, yeah. We kind of talked about Abby that night when we were like, do you think that when they were like filming this, that they thought we'd be in a better place? Like, so maybe they were filming this as like respect of like, this is a story we need to be telling in hopes that like, we'd be better off by the time it aired. And we're in fact in a worse place than we were even when I think they were filming it. So,
right.
I think that's kind of important to realize too, is like, nobody knew where COVID was going to be in November. People had predictions about it, you know, but
I'm wondering if like I guess there won't be a mid season. Well, there might be, but it's like the second wave is coming.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. And so I love to, we see it in, what is Mick Widow's real name?
I have no idea. I literally have no idea.
Mick Widow. His name is Dr. Cormac Hayes. Okay. That he like has the scenes too where he's like got his head up against the wall and he's just like falling asleep there. And like he gave his mask to a nurse, you know, his new one, and he's wearing his old one. Like, I think there are some great little things that I'm sure are like exact storylines from actual healthcare workers, you know, like those little tiny details that I think make it like, I bet you there was a doctor that pushed everything over in the supply closet, you know?
I'm sure. Or like, yeah, just like falling asleep in places, like not having enough PPE, like being like, this is the X patient that I've had to like hold their hand as they died.
Right.
Like, and those are really hard things to hear and watch. And so it does make it hard when like you hear those things in the news and you're like, okay, I'm coming to Grey's Anatomy to like escape this like shithole that we're in right now. But like, I don't think we can escape it. And I think it's a medical show. And I don't know how they really would have gone about doing this season without addressing COVID. And so I think they took the right approach and dove right in and like did it correctly instead of just like brushing over COVID.
Agreed. And I also really liked, I thought it was creative how, I mean, they obviously like wore PPE because they have to on set. I think like some shows that have been back are such small casts or, you know, it's only two people in a scene together that like they don't, they're probably getting tested, you know, more often, but Grey's has so many background characters that it makes sense that in order to film those, they had to wear PPE. And so I would say it was interesting. I would recommend watching it with subtitles because again, you don't realize how often you read lips. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard. I think when we're used to seeing so much more of a person's face, like I truly missed seeing all of their face. But other than that, I feel like it's the perfect show to get away with doing that. I was slightly drunk, kept making those jokes about how their those like bags over their head with the tubes of air going in look like Avatar ponytails. yeah. And that they just plug that into their horse and fly away.
Yeah.
Let's jump to, before we go too long, the best part of all. So the the episode started with a monologue and Mare sitting on a beach wearing like a white shirt, like very beachy, very just like serene. And again, oftentimes when we get like a serious Mare, I don't know why I didn't right away think like, oh, is she in like a dream sequence? Like I just, it just, sometimes they make artistic choices like that. So I guess I didn't read into it, until the end when, Dr. Cormac Hayes finds Meredith collapsed in the parking lot, which I thought she was just sleeping. Like I thought it was a comedic moment at first. Mm-hmm. It clearly wasn't. They tried to wake her. They couldn't. She wasn't doing well. And then it goes back to that dream sequence. And oh, I like it. Cause you and I were like watching it. We were like, oh, those episodes were like, okay, they were good, but they weren't whatever. And then we were like, is it? Cause you see this little blurry figure on the end of the beach and what does he say?
He says Meredith.
Again, he's like,
first he calls out Meredith. Right.
and then she says, Derek.
Yeah. And then there's something about
and
like,
then she
I miss
says,
you.
I miss you. Yeah. She says, I miss you. Yes. And he says, I know. And I feel like we both screamed.
Well, because at first, like when it was the blurry figure, like we were talking as we were watching it, we're like, do you think they recorded like him saying Meredith or like pulled a recording of him saying Meredith before or whatever? Like we kind of thought, and then they showed his actual face, like Derek today, Patrick Dempsey, like in real life. Mm-hmm. And we were like, holy shit. They did such a good job keeping that a secret.
Yeah. So that's what in the Deadline article, which is really good. If you just search Deadline Grey's Anatomy Return, it'll come up. It's a really long interview between.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Between Krista, Ellen and Patrick about how like it came about. Well, okay. So basically Krista Vernoff was like, this is a really ugly time to be alive. It's really hard to be in the medical community. The show is going to be really dark. We need something to like make people feel joy again. And so it started out just as this like beach motif. And she was talking to Ellen and was like, who could we bring back? You know? So if you're in this dream motif, like who do you think, like, who would you want? And she said, let's get Patrick. And so they, I guess, both have homes in Malibu. They went for a hike, together. It was the first time that they'd like been together and spoken. I'm assuming since Grey's ended.
Yeah. You mean he left Grey's, not Grey's ended.
Sorry. Yes. She says, Patrick says, we hadn't spoken or been together for a while. It was a great opportunity to catch up and say, okay, what can we do for the frontline responders? I've been tracking what Grace has been doing with giving masks and making sure people had the right equipment. And it came from that place. Okay. What can we do to make people feel better, to give comfort in this time of uncertainty? And that's how it began. And it was a really wonderful experience to go back to work. I also really like that, where's that quote? Patrick says, the dynamic behind the camera has changed. There's much more diversity within the crew. There was a nice balance too of equality that I was seeing. So culturally, there was a lot of things that were different and that I thought were very positive and very inspiring. So they filmed the beach scene together and Krista was the only one besides the filmers like there. And so all those photos that you see on Instagram are ones she took with her phone. And I just think it's really beautiful to see, because there's always been weird things like, did they have beef, you know, when he left the show? And I think they might have, but I do love that Ellen says, it was very healing to come back and know that what we're doing, something good, putting out in a positive story, a healing story, going to make people smile, blah, blah, blah. She just talks about how like they have genuine affection for each other and it was healing. As in like, I really do feel like whatever was happening, they like got over their shit.
Well, yeah, so Ellen Pompeo posted on Instagram, like after this aired, a photo of them wearing a mask on the beach and then like just the two of them. And it says, let's love, let's heal, let's wear a mask. And I really feel like, I mean, even in all the interviews that I feel like Ellen Pompeo has done since Derek has left the show, she hasn't explicitly said like Patrick Dempsey was a shithead, but like she has said like things weren't great behind the scenes. Like, and when he left, we like decided to change how things were run pretty much. And so like, she's never like called him out, but like, I think it's been pretty much assumed like they had a pretty tumultuous like relationship behind the scenes. Like they played these characters that like had a marriage and stuff. And so for her to like post something and be like, let's heal, I think that also shows us like in this time that is really difficult, like what's most important. And like her thing was like trying to bring joy to people and like coming together. So I'm going to find a way to connect with this person and heal from whatever happened before so we can give something to our viewers. You know, like that just shows like her character as a human being, I feel like too.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It was as much as like we've had lots of conversations in our Facebook group that like we shit on Derek a lot and like he's definitely not perfect. But I will say it, that pure fan service of seeing him. And again, I'm glad it's not like he's alive and he's back. Like this is in a way where like, it's not like they can be together. And I think, cause I just love to do like predictions and like what I hope. I do believe we might see some other people on this beach motif. Like she even kind of hints at it. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of people that could show up. Lexi, Mark, her mom, Doc, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I'll never get it right. You know, there's so many. And I think that that's really exciting. And I also think that just like Ellen and Patrick maybe had to do some healing, I would love to see Ellen or Meredith Grey's character get some sort of closure that she couldn't get before to help to like maybe have her finally be able to like move on. Because I feel like Derek's character would like give her permission, you know?
Yeah.
Not that she needs it. She does not need his dead permission.
But. Yeah, like we had talked about, you and I had talked about after this, we watched the episode. And yeah, the whole idea, like permission's not the right word, we both agreed, but just like closure of like he died in a car accident. And so there was no closure. Like she was like, you can go and he died. And so for them to like, even as viewers, for us to be able to see them have a conversation, even if it's in her like psyche, whatever realm she's
God,
in.
My God, I can't even
wait. Like he's like, hey, Mare, like you're a badass surgeon and you deserve to be happy and I'm fine. I'm okay. It's time for you to move on now and like find your next love or like continue to be a great surgeon and like whatever, you know, like I feel like it would be really great for us to see that as viewers. And I like no other like partnership has really worked out for Meredith. And so maybe this is a way for them to usher something in for her to be with another character or maybe it's just supposed to end. Like the last thing I was kind of going to ask is like, do we think this is the last season?
It would be an interesting last choice. I don't think Mare dies.
I don't think she does either. But like, I wonder, like they kind of, they don't hint that it's like the last season, but they do say that like, she kind of says her thing again about like, we're going to keep telling stories if we have like stories to tell.
If we have stories to tell.
So
it's just I just got so excited thinking about like, oh wait, cause it's confirmed that he's in a few more episodes and I just keep feeling like, wait, they might have a conversation. Like for some reason I was thinking it would just be these like Meredith, Derek and like a smile, but like, oh my God, like the writing that would go into hopefully like them having a really good conversation. Oh God, would I kill to see that? Like I'm very excited. That makes me very excited.
Yeah. And then I love like going back to when we were like talking to listeners and them talking about how Patrick Dempsey was on the IMDb. And like, now we know that it was legit that he was like, this has been in the works. And I wonder though, like, were they planning on having him in before COVID? Or was this?
I don't think so.
Yeah, like COVID happened and they're like, we got to rewrite this shit. Like, and we got to find a way to like give something back to our viewers because everyone's really struggling right now.
Well, that's my thought. And also because Krista says that the beach motif is throughout the season.
Okay.
So like, I think that this beach thing is like, okay, first of all, do we think Mare has COVID?
Okay, so.
I do.
You do.
She couldn't breathe in that one, like.
I thought she had COVID, but then, like, I talked to a coworker and she was like, I don't think she does because, like, the, like, characters aren't in, like, full-on PPE around her. Like, next time on Grey's Anatomy, like, Bailey's just masked. She's not, like, in her full COVID gear. So maybe she has like
Alzheimer's? No.
Exhaustion? Like cancer? Something.
But she says that thing where if I fall asleep, like I don't think I'm going to get up. I don't know. It just makes me so nervous.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it is, but obviously like, I think she's sick with something because she's in the hospital,
yeah.
But I don't know that it's COVID.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I do.
I hope the beach thing happens throughout the season for sure. Like I'd like to see her bounce back and forth between reality and this, because she also couldn't just play the whole season as like an exhausted doctor treating COVID. Like,
no,
you know?
So do we think like, and I guess this is the last thing, like, what do we think the beach represents? Is this like her psyche? Like, is this her safe, relaxing space that her mind goes to? Is this purgatory? Is this like the in-between realm of like, living and dead, you know, like, what is it?
I hope so. I like the, because it makes me think of, she's done this before. Remember
when
she
hospital.
Like, well, when she was dying. Right. And she saw her mom again and like, she felt healed from her mom. Remember?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, and so I wonder, like, I just wonder if it's another thing like that, which wouldn't be new for Grace to do. You know, some people are like, what, this is weird, ghosts and shit. But I'm like, no, they've done this a lot.
They've had ghost sex on the show already. So
I don't want them to have ghost sex.
No, I don't think they will. And I don't think he'll be in it that much. But like, I do like the idea instead of like, in what was that, season 3 when Meredith drowns and she's like in the hospital thing and almost dies. Like, I like the idea of it being like more serene and on a beach, because that also shows, I think, the growth in Meredith as a character, that like, that's more of her purgatory state than like...
Right, not a hospital.
A hospital? I don't know. Just thoughts.
I'm excited. Do you want to see anyone else come back, or do you think it'd be more impactful with just Derek?
I would be fine seeing Ellis, although we have seen Ellis again when she's been up in the gallery. And I feel like that whole storyline and how, like, that seeing Ellis like
was
applauding for her, it's like closed. So I don't know that I really need to see anyone. I think it'd be weird, like, with Derek being dead, I think it'd be weird to see someone like Christina or something. You know, like, that's the only other person I want to see. But like, I think they've kind of set the precedent that this is like not reality.
Dead people.
So, yeah.
If it's her made up reality, though, Christina could be there.
That's true. That's true. I don't think Christina would be, but I don't know, maybe so.
Especially not for a beach motif.
Yeah. But also, I don't know if I want to see anything again, because I don't want them to do the same thing they did before, where like Doc runs down the hospital hallway and like...
Right. No, I honestly think if it's just Derek, that's more impactful, but we'll see.
Yeah.
He's aged a little, but he looks great.
Yeah. So that's where we're at, Grey's BBs. We would love to hear your thoughts on the episode. If you want to have a conversation, and if you're watching it live, like this coming week's episode, episode 2, and you want to be in a community of people that talk about it, the Facebook group, the On-Call Room Listener Squad, is a great place to do that. We always have like a thread where people can chat. So if you want to be a part of that, you can join Patreon at www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. There you can be, that's only $2 to be in the Facebook group, a intern. You can also be a resident or attending. And that supports the podcast. So
yeah. And we're going to keep doing these as new episodes come out. No direct answer about when we go back to like what we used to do, but we'll keep you guys informed. But we will, for this month, be giving you weekly episodes. So if you are a patron, you can look forward to that. And we should probably talk about scheduling some Zoom calls soon. So we'll do that after we end this podcast. But I'm happy Grace is back. And I am thankful that it was such an exciting premiere to talk about.
Yeah. Before we go, Abby, out of 10 scalpels, what do you rate it?
Ooh, honestly, the shock factor, like, I haven't been shocked on Grey's Anatomy since when George died, I feel like, you know, like just truly out of left field. I might give it a 10 just because I like, that's why I like this show, when it catches me by total surprise. So I honestly, it might be one that I would rewatch like the last just the second part. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like, I feel like they haven't
definitely
done...
Definitely a nine,
maybe a 10, like, for that. I feel like the rest of it was kind of like, meh. I also feel like it might be one of those episodes that later on I would rewatch and be like, oh, that was good. But that's shock factor. I agree. Like, we haven't had something like that where a character has come back in a really long time.
I mean, Grace like, was on the news.
I mean, like, Patrick Dempsey was, like, gone. And, like, we knew that we were, like, he's never coming back because they have beef with, like, right. each other. And so for them to pull that off and to, like, for no one to know was, like, whether you love Derek or hate him, you have to admit you were fucking shocked to see him on that beach. So...
Yeah. And I feel like that is one where like in years from now, I'll be like, ooh, this was, I remember watching this and we screamed
yeah.
and you know, like it was enjoyable and where it was like an experience. And again, like I said, I haven't had Grey's on the news the next day. Like it was on the news because it was such a shocking episode.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll give it a 9.5. How about that?
Sounds wonderful. Okay. Bree, will you do me the honors of calling time of death?
You know what, Abby? I would love to. Thanks, Grace BBs. We'll see you next week. Time of death is 2022. Beep.